Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Shout even shy, and she actually needs some words to, you know, put into a song. And if you're going to get words and put them in a song, you go to the people on the site that actually write them, and that would be one of my co-hosts, Jay Hatter. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
Unmuted. Doing better.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. And if you go to allpoetry.com, and you try and look us up, of course you'd want to do, to follow some of the poems and stuff like that, you can get on to allpoetry.com and get a free account and go and do that. And then the way to look us up is to go to A Team of Voices at allpoetry.com. And if you go to A Team of Voices and you go to the door, you will find none other than Deborah Lee, who's the chief and boss of A Team of Voices, and with us in the background too. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. And we have a couple of people who have wandered past already, and so we should let them in. This will be either Stephen or Kay or Stephen Kay, depending on which things are moving forward. How are we going?
Just
440.
Just Stephen. Hello.
Stephen.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. How are you, Stephen?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, this is a good start. And because we must have all been good, and we must have all been you know, done something right. Then on the other hand, we have 720, who I believe is Sweet. Hello, Sweet. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Sweetie.
Lovely to have you with us, Sweet. Lovely to have you with us, and good to see that I'm not on some sort of banned list after my terrible behavior yesterday.
It wasn't your fault. It was mine.
No. But, I mean, you know, there was the little matter of me clearing my throat when clearly I was, you know, guffawing, you know, in the background. But anyway, you know, we'll get over that.
I'm good.
So, anyways, so we had a very, very interesting tic-mac-po yesterday, Stephen. We got to the point where I thought at one point that we would have the mysterious drawn episode, which we are yet to have after 30-odd goes at it, which just seems weird. But it didn't set out that way, and Lady A, after some, there was a little bit of uncertainty, but she did get the right answer and won the game, so there you go. So anyway, putting all that to one side, we are here tonight to talk about the wonders of stainless steel. That's right, stainless steel. And you just know that that's going to be a topic that I've chosen and Hatter hasn't, because it just reeks me, doesn't it, really? Stainless steel is the topic for tonight, you know, and, anyway, we'll make sense of it as we go along. Now, Stephen, I believe, as always, that you will be on a tight timetable. Is that correct?
I am, but you can let Sweet Pea go first if she really needs to.
Okie dokie. So that being the case, thank you very much. That being the case, Sweet, we will get you to put your poem up on the board.
Okay.
Doing that now.
Thanking you.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yes, I... Stephen's heard this because I deliberately put the word metal in this for your show.
Thank you very much. That's all I can ask. That's all I can ask. Sweet.
All you can ask. But there's one word in here, and it's metal, and I deliberately did it through your show.
Thank you very much.
I wrote this for Sky Show tonight. So this is Sea Gods and Mermaid Tales with a little bit of metal. Sky blue skies read Morse code in mirror shimmers as amber rays catch the reflections of silver fins swimming and bubbles burble to the top of turquoise water waves. Hair of red and eyes of seaweed green watch the moon's reflection. Songs of titan are sung in old tongue as stars begin to greet the sea. Mermaids seduce sailors with promises of treasures before they drown. Barbaric hooked scar and metal nets detach heads from Neptune's dolls. Whale tails disguise as mermaid tails tangle and die. Balance the need to greed and harmonize, and Poseidon shall not rise. End poem.
Well, it is completely obvious, Sweet, that you do need stainless steel on nets, because otherwise the damn things are going to rust, and that's the last thing we need to have happen, particularly if we're detaching heads from Neptune's dolls with them. You know, where would we be if we had a rusting net and we couldn't detach heads from Neptune's dolls? I mean, you know, we'd just be in a completely different place. We're not sure where, but we'd be in a completely different place. Deb, did you want to say some words about Sweet's comment?
You know, it never ceases to amaze me the difference between that soft, sultry voice and the deep, gripping head detachments and scars and barbaricness, and the contrast is just mind-bending, you know? And you start off all beautiful, sky blue skies, read Morse code in Mirror Shimmers. And I'm thinking, oh, Shimmers. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. Then we go from Shimmers to mermaids that tangle and die and harmonize. And Poseidon shall not rise. And it's like, okay, well, the dolls are headless. Poseidon's not going to rise. The mermaids drown in, I guess, you know. Bye-bye, biatch. You're off.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I sort of think that it was going down one path there. That's what you were saying. It was going down the path of periwinkle sort of coloredness. Yes, it was, wasn't it?
And then the metal came in.
That's what happened. The metal came in, and it all went to hell, a handbasket, and an unrisen Poseidon. Anyway, Stephen, did you want to say a few words about the dolls and the metal and everything else?
Or Stephen.
I did hear this earlier. And I told Sweet Pea in my comment, because of that last, I really got hooked on the, no pun intended, hooked on the last stanza. And I told her that it made me think it might have been a little bit of a soapbox, right? Because I saw a deeper message of the illegal fishing nets that drown marine mammals and sharks, and, as well as the overfishing of certain species. I thought this was an excellent write.
Excellent. Great comment. I think that's right. Hannah?
Yeah, I'm in love with this. This is, we'll start off with the hair of red and eyes of seaweed green. There's mermaids seduce sailors with promises of treasure before they drown. You set it up just beautifully. Anything you say after that is going to be right. Whale tails disguised as mermaid tails tangle and die. Your mind is a beautiful thing, man.
Thank you.
I was sort of thinking that you could have, I don't know how, but it would have been sort of nice to have the little Dr. Hook in there, maybe a little bit more, sharing the night together or something like that. Sweet, you know, just taking the hook and moving it to another direction. But no, I thought it was really cool. I just thought the harmonize, it just got me hooks, harmonize. You know where I'm going, you know. You could see my mind. Most people can't. Well, very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Sweet.
Have a few minutes.
Yes,
Hannah.
On my comment, in the comment, the last word is list, not lust. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
What a...
Righto.
Freudian slip,
Hatter. Glad we got that in. Now, Stephen, we should get you up on the board, and then we could possibly do the collaboration. Something along those lines, Deb, if you've got time, Stephen, to listen. So
sure.
Thank you to Deb. We've got Stephen up on the board. Take us away, please.
All right. I will say thank you to a certain poet who already commented on this for giving me advice in my title, because I wasn't happy with the first title I came up with. So now this is called Vladimir's Verse. Stainless steel, serrate spear tip, a blade of steel, no sanguine stains. Perfect metal stuck through gut, dazzling ore brings on the pain. Precious platinum polearm, skewer of silver superb, model mineral javelin, leaden hole halberd. Ride the shaft through bloody belly, splintered and painted with clots, exiting near ruptured spinal cord, sliced intestines tied up in knots. His victory sealed in flowing crimson fluid, shish kebabbing those who did him wrong. The whimpers and screams of dying sing Vlad the Impaler's song. And boom.
Aha! You've got to love a little ditty about Vlad the Impaler with a gift of a whole heap of things sitting skewered. I'm glad that we actually got that out of the prompt, Stephen, that the stainless steel took you there. and gave Yuzi ways and means to actually slice the crap out of everything that you got with different implements. Oh, did you want to say some words?
I don't think
you
can.
You pretty much said it.
Oh my God.
It wasn't, I think it wasn't an easy subject.
Oh my God.
No, this is true.
It's the way to go.
This is true. It's not an easy subject, I agree.
The picture is
did a good job,
killing me.
Nobody does it like Vlad, though. You know?
No.
He always had the Halloween decorations.
And Vlad the Impaler. I agree. And I still go back to my comment about, you know, Dr. Hook being applied here as well. You know, Hatter, you could go the same thing. Ballad of Lucy Jordan. A little bit more, Sylvia's mother. I mean, there's all sorts of options that Vlad could work in here. But anyway, I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Deb, did you want to say some words on Stephen's impaling?
I bet you when Stephen wrote it, he never thought that it was going to be taken as a humorous poem. That is until he brought it for Sweet. I have to say that I'm very impressed at the part where the impaling is actually shish kebabbing. So that's very cool.
Yes.
But your general descriptions all the way through are awesome, Stephen. I'm sorry. I'm still cracking up. Because sometimes when somebody's tickled pink and they can't stop laughing, they make me laugh. So it's contagious, and Sweet just did that to me. So I'm trying to pull myself together here. But, yeah, no, you used some amazing phrasing for this. Great share, Stephen. Sweet, you're a whack.
I know.
I made the comment so much more dramatic. So much more dramatic, man.
It was. Sweet. Did you want to say a few words about this particular lighthearted
piece?
Well,
this is so brilliant. I just tell you, the picture kills me. I just see Mary Poppins with her umbrella. Oh, she's the Bobby, she did him wrong. The whippers and screams are dying. Who's glad you made us all?
Oh, my God. That's just
going through. I don't see this. This is going on my list. This is going on my favorites. This is pinned to my profile. This is so good. I mean, you can't think of using stainless steel in any other bay. I ride the shaft through bloody belly, splinter and painted claws, exceeding your ruptured spinal cord, spliced intestines tied up in knots. I mean, it's got perfect rhyme, perfect cadence. It's singable.
This has got to be the first time Vlad ever made the happy list.
As you sing it, like at the end of every rhyme and every stanza, this little man just plops right down on his thing. It's like dazzling aura brings on the pain, and he comes down. I don't know if you noticed that, but the cadence is perfect on it, which is what made me start laughing. Like leading whole hell barred, and there he comes down. Especially with your cadence, like at the end of every stanza, you hit that word, and he just lands and his head flops. It was perfect. Thank you. Sorry.
I think Sweet's laughing crying.
Oh well, he knows I've been in the sun all day with the grandson at the zoo, but. The way you were reading it, and every time you ended
that's your story, and you're
like tied up in knots, boom, his head fell down.
You know, that's got to be the greatest series of comments right there.
Oh, this is excellent. Okay, I'm done. End comment.
Thank you, Steve. I was just thinking, I mean, you know. Deb, we're turning to you, Deb, because we are going to do the collab before everybody has to depart stage left.
Yeah,
cool, because this is one of my favorites, actually. It practically wrote itself. As it laid on the page in original form, it scored an 8.1, and after I moved it around and made it more cohesive, it's a 10. So it's, like, unreal. But I really like this one. Anyway, it's called Sippin' Hatter's Tea in the Wizard's Laboratory. Here we go. Green eyes spy through the looking glass on the necromancer of rainbow hue, with wisdom watching through crystal globes as great magic left bubbles to choose. Library rats climb on book back stacks, then the cat sprawls on books of spells. Static fields fill the room, charging sprites beyond clouds, and candles burning sand upward wells. From painted heavens in a cage called home, a bluebird perched by the parrot out loose. Where the worlds are made, there is a big striped cat eyeing the barn owl flying and hunting a moose. Flames arise to light what flies, then hides them all away, leaving too many orbs in a glass to go count, melting sand in the mirror place. Now the color cauldrons to ceilings mount, over lighted hands to show no face. Stars and moons on tablecloths pinned for all to see, showing different conjugations in wide bowls. As candles burn for Tweety birds above the fractured domes, in an equidistance from cold and the coals. Colored pools of reds and blues stain the world, and there are birds sitting on the ceiling too, catching winds in cornered shells, reading books on Christmas elves towards the telescope. That's aim is askew. And poem.
Very nicely done, Deb. Very nicely done. Nice thought from you, actually, Hatter. I think that came together very, very well. I'm going to go to Sweet first. Sweet, what did you think before you exit stage left?
I agree. It's got to be one of my favorites. There is so much in here. Stars and moons on tablecloths, colored pools of red and blue, stain the world. I love this picture. I love
the great picture, isn't it? Yeah.
Glass. Yeah, it is. wow. Flames arise to light what flies, then hides them away. Theirs is just beautiful. I think you guys did really good. And, of course, Deb, the way you put things together, it just kills me. I think my favorite line in here, though, is as candles burn for Tweety birds above the fractured domes. I think that's really cool.
Yep.
Very, very cool.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. And we're going to go to Stephen, too, because I know, Stephen, you have to exit stage right very soon. So what did you think of this one?
Well, I definitely like the imagery, and I like the bringing in of the birds. You have to watch out for that spider web up on the upper right hand. I don't know if anybody caught that, but
no.
I said in my comment,
no,
I may have to recomb my hair because of all the static electricity in this piece. You really kind of brought that into my head. And I was thinking of like the those globes that you could touch, and the electricity follows your fingers around. I saw that in my mind while I was listening to this.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yes.
Glad you guys liked
it. Great comment. Yeah, great comment. Hatter, what was your view of this rice and of the of the piece?
I think Deborah is right. I think this is one of the better ones, and if I didn't know better, I would say we talk.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. And we didn't, honestly.
No, we didn't.
Because, you know, we did not. But, no, I think Stephen's right. I think it there's a little bit of plasma globe about this picture, and I think it this picture was always going to suit us because it had A, lots of colour, B, lots of movement, and C, lots of stuff going on. But it tends to be when there's lots going on that we find interesting stuff to talk about, Adam.
Yeah, AP. I've been waiting for this to happen, and I really, really wish I would have wrote it down because I had pretty much that same first line, "Cat sprawls," as the book of spells.
Really?
I said the book of spells, and then I was mentioning the cat. It would have been very close.
It would have been close.
Wouldn't have surprised me. Last week, you both started with Pinocchio in your first line.
We both started
line,
with Pinocchio.
Yeah,
we did.
First word, Pinocchio.
Yeah, I went with where wolves are made, there is a cat.
Yeah, and it's quite cute. I like that. I had to go with a cat to start with. I don't know why, I just had to go with a cat to start with. It worked together really well, it really did.
Yeah, like I said, I was really thrilled. But I also, it made me have to go and search for poem or two for tonight because I couldn't risk writing the next one because, I don't know if you noticed, but since it took a 10 position, it put me at 665, which means I have to write a down and dirty, dark poem for my next one.
Still
because it'll
collab.
Be 666.
Still collab with you.
So my 666-10?
Yeah. Surround yourself with family.
Interesting thought. I'll give it some consideration.
No. Good thing. All right,
and then you could be my 1,000. I'm approaching 1,000. Really, really soon.
Well, I don't even know now. I have 1,945 poems of the ones that I haven't deleted, but this would be my 666-10. So I have to make Otto Rank happy and give him something dark and creepy.
Yes.
Question,
Heather.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just to question something. Question the authenticity of something.
You can have to do that. Or, alternatively, you could do a follow-up to Stephen's stainless steel impaling piece.
I think that is a statement. I don't like this subject, so this is what you're going to get. Now, well done. I was with Sweet. I was smiling the whole time. Just saying, why am I smiling? I know this is about Vlad the Impaler. That's quite the gift, man. I think.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
That was from the beginning of the Bram Stoker's Dracula movie.
That's where I've seen it. That's where I saw it.
That's right. There
you go. Oh, man.
There you go. Now, I should, Stephen, give you the opportunity to talk about your shows coming up and what's happening in your world.
Oh, yeah, cool. Our next show is Monday night at a special time because this week they really messed up my work schedule, so all of our shows are going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern. But it's the Mortuary Shadows, and it's another true crime edition. We're going with Jim Jones, and like I keep saying, don't worry about refreshments. We will supply the Kool-Aid.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. When in doubt, go with the Kool-Aid. But thank you, Stephen. If you want to hang on, by all means, please do. But otherwise, I know that you have an early start. So
maybe I'll just take off. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, Hatter.
Yes.
I wanted to show you that you can do a stainless steel piece without being Vlad the Impaler. Yeah, because and that's important, right?
Okay.
And so, okay, I did a piece that I'm going to put on the board now this morning when I was not eating my lunch, which I should have done. Probably would have made a big difference. This is, would you believe, of stuff medical. And it goes a bit like this. Ostentic, or 316 surgical steel, the one used for all instruments grace, sitting on trolleys that often wheel, also stainless, so sterilised surface. Then it comes into the operation, all fixtures and fittings stainless, as cannot have rust on a station, or highest hygiene, must confess. Obviously instruments with blade, all once again of the same metal, also many plates used with braid, the same with screws used to settle. So we have our hatter to thank. For this little ditty on metals tell, and many more years now bank, thanks to stainless. Now get well.
Got me. Yeah, you know, I every time I go into a hospital, I'm fascinated with the MRI.
Yes.
Nuclear medicine and this kind of stuff, and I always ask questions, and I think
yes.
It's fascinating.
I can tell you.
We take so much for granted of the things
yes,
around us.
You
yes,
know, just
stainless
do.
Steel, to pig iron, to aluminum, to it's just the things we create as a species is amazing.
It is. It is. And you know. Say too, most of those stainless steel screws are charged out at $250 a hit. So, you know, anyway, just saying. But if you know the plates, if they use plates, they're allowed to be titanium or stainless steel. So, it just depends on the nature of your back and what they're trying to do. But you'll have always a metal in
the AP, what do you think is the biggest
yeah.
contribution to man? Like the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, aluminum alloy, stainless steel, tungsten. What's the biggest
good
achievement?
Good question. Well, I am going to go back to fire, Hatter. I reckon the minute
fire.
We actually got fire sorted, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
The minute we got fire sorted, I reckon we were in good shape, yeah. But without
yeah, I
fire,
I think the Bronze Age,
we were
Bronze
stuck.
Age, the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, in order to get stainless steel, you've got to heat, you see. You've got to have heat. And you've got to have heat to a certain temperature, and then you've got to, you know, put the right metals in and all that stuff. But if you don't have heat, you're stuffed. And look, let's face it, you know, eating raw meat is kind of fun occasionally. You know, I'm like anybody else, a little bit of, you know, beef that has a little bit of olive oil on it, and you know, carpaccio, I'm very fond
oh,
of.
Yeah.
But I don't want carpaccio
yeah.
to be my total diet.
I sort of meant metal-wise, what
oh,
metal
oh,
achievement.
Okay.
Yeah,
metal-wise.
Like aluminum alloys, tungsten,
well,
back to bronze.
I'm still going to go right back. I'm still going to go right back,
yeah.
Hatter, because I reckon bronze is where it started, yeah. So
yeah, I guess you'd have
nothing,
to.
Nothing, nothing better than a good bronze, I say. You know, particularly if you're looking at the statues
well, that's
or 10, whatever 10, else. But
10 iron and copper, right? 10 iron and copper, or just 10
yeah,
and copper.
Yeah, that's it. Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Yep, really simple. But you know, it just went to show that bronze and a metal could be more than the sum of its parts. So to speak.
Yeah, and it showed different properties being softer. He was able to...
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and folding. I guess that's when you start folding the metals for weapons, too, to make it...
Yes. And it was, you know, it was such that... it could be used for statues
impaling.
And for helmets and for different
sure.
things, you know. And so
yeah.
I think you know, the most important one was it almost always is the first hatter, isn't it? Really, in these things, it's so that's why I'm going with bronze because the color of bronze too, you know, the way it ages yeah. is just lovely.
You know, copper is huge, but you got to say something about aluminum, the alloys, the lighter, everything being lighter, we were able to do
true.
A lot more things.
It is lighter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
then you've
got your
stainless steel.
Well, that's true. A bit of Roman stuff I put up on the board there. Just a little sort of piece of cow.
So can I read mine? Because I'm going to prove I agree with
you.
There's other things.
I think you should read it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And mine is called The Mighty Quinn. It goes like this. He took those things that were not his, a crook they called the Virgin Wiz. No marks, no prints were ever found. So quiet he stole without a sound. The cops set traps to lure him in to catch the thief, the Mighty Quinn. Without a trace, they do believe, pristine the scenes, the cleanest thief. For years he stole a legend sealed, the stories of the stainless steels. Right.
Very clever. Yeah, okay. You can get away with it. Many people wouldn't allow you, Hatter. Many people would say that poem is officially disqualified, but I'm not going to, because it is sufficiently clever with the use of the prompt that you are allowed to do that. So therefore we can comment, it's ruled in. And Deb, did you want to say something about Hatter stealing the prompt?
Yeah, he sent this over earlier and I thought it was really clever of him to play on the steel, especially with the stainless steel. It's supposed to, the claim to fame is that it doesn't show fingerprints. So it was really quite a brilliant little spin and a few great couplets to... Nice brevity, Hatton.
The Virgin Wiz.
I like the Mighty Quinn. I thought that was very
Quinn.
Cute. Very cute. Yeah. I believe you've captured an aspect of the prompt that I hadn't thought of before, Hatter, which is always a good thing.
Cool.
Very positive. I like it a lot.
I had it one time the mention the stainless steel up in further up into the poem, but I took it out, left it as a door slam, slamming the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stories of
steels. No, completely appropriate,
yeah.
Hatter. Completely. I think and mentioning it at the last, I think was the way to go. I think it was definitely.
I couldn't think of anything else.
No, definitely. Definitely. So, Deb, you've got poems, and we should do them, because...
Deb.
Yeah. Which one
yeah.
did you want to do first?
Hold on, because I'm changing... Oh, I did change it already? No, I didn't. Well, I'm trying to change... It should have said PG-13, so I'm just doing that real quick. Because it's done. Cool. So,
get the kids out of the room.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it now. I just didn't want to read
it. Put it on the board without appropriate notice. Yes.
Well,
I think it is
right now.
Yeah. Excellent. So, we're in your hands, Deb.
Okie dokie, this is called Two Brains Inside a Locked Stainless Steel Mask. Here we go. Spot the stud on the shale sidewalk strutting to the Plaza Tavern for cocktails. He slides sweaty palms over a round derriere, but that firm button's not mine, so in a blink, he's gasping for air. Yell out, off with his head, but two are sliced, then diced, and the bleeding pieces spliced. Graffiti stains the drywall sheets as my razor-edged scalpel swings. Red, glossy fluids mark the chalk-white walls from the blood spray the motion flings. the brain is his skull and his mask in the metal prison with fat lips stitched to hold the shrunken brain, stuffed in his mouth and mounted inside a maple wood-trimmed frame. Bloodshot cobalt eyes do not wink now, locked in a stare, butchered like a cow. And boom.
Stainless steel.
Oh, there's a nice, happy piece on stainless steel. Hatter, did you want to have another first go at that one?
Yeah. I do. That, yeah. I can't believe. Yeah. Yeah. Braid in his skull, his mask like a metal prison, with fat lips stitched to the hole in the shrunken brain. Boy, Dad. Stuffed in his mouth.
Well, that's a
Yes, Hatter.
Yummy.
I don't know what to say, sis.
Your laugh said it all.
Yummy.
That was enough.
Okay. I'm glad that this was actually to a Sweet Peak quote. That's really cool. And that she's already seen it and put it on the best of Deb list, which is kind of nice. So I think the prompt has elicited some fun pieces and some dark pieces too, because I don't think I've ever seen Deb use the word butcher. That was completely appropriate.
Oh, well, you
yeah,
need to dig at my dark poem just because, like, I have some anti-sweet. So, I mean, I have some beauties.
Okay. There you go.
You'd be surprised.
You have to read more. That's what you go. Got it. Cool. Funky. Good fun, though.
It is fun. Because, like, you know,
why is
you
it nice?
Write things that you would never do for real, but it's
yeah.
fun to read.
Yeah. No.
But then again, never say never, I suppose.
No.
Yeah, I get it.
So, okay. Well, I'm going to go to my brevity next, Deb, which is about the wonderful world of stainless steel. I do this occasionally. This is the what would traditionally be called the prompt, the history lesson, and this is no different. This is names much less. It goes a little bit like this. There is not one type of stainless steel, not a single start date can mention. Multiple countries got into the deal, lest confusion with names and convention. There was Allegheny metal in the US, unstainable steel in Europe. Stay-Brite the patent in England press, Norosta steel tried the brand in hope. It all ended up being stainless. The reason was chromium or bust. Every other iron seen as less. The stainless steel does not rust. End pop.
Chromium or bust.
True story. Everybody
That's
went
cool. The chromium or bust has me cracking up for some reason, though.
No, there you go. Yeah, but it's true story. Everybody in different countries went and decided that putting chromium into iron was the right thing to do, and yet they mixed a whole three or four different things as well at the same time. And so what actually happened is there were patents granted for stainless steel in the US, patents granted in England, patents granted in Germany, patents granted in Switzerland,
yeah.
And they were all slightly different. So there you go.
Very cool. Another good angle on the topic.
There you go. Hatter,
stay bright.
Do you want to say a few words?
I was playing a little catch up here. Yeah, let me finish looking at it.
No, that's okay. No, it's all good.
Is it for chromium bust? What year was it that they started manufacturing using aluminum?
That was a little bit. I reckon
40,
I say aluminium. Say aluminum, just so that we're clear on this. I say aluminium. Yeah. You say aluminum. I say aluminium.
Aluminium,
so you know, we're slightly different on this. So aluminium, I thought, came in around World War II, but I could be completely wrong. I've been wrong.
No, I think they started making the Corsairs. I think they started making the Corsairs and some of the parts out of aluminum. So that's about right.
Pure form of the metal was first successfully extracted from ore in 1825 by Danish chemist Hans Christian. The technique to produce aluminum in ways modestly cost-effective emerged in 1889. The lightweight, 100% recyclable metal has since become a foundation of our country's infrastructure. History of aluminum.
A little bit older.
But it wasn't the light as we know. I don't think it was the light aluminum as we know it. They were able to be in an alloy.
So I asked
the
new question, and that one says 1913. I put aluminum foil rather than just aluminum.
Yeah.
And that's
So the flyer of the Wright brothers in 1903 had an engine of parts that was mainly aluminium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then there was an alloy of aluminium that was first used in aircraft in 1950 in Germany. And so it's World War One, not World War Two. So
I think they made the props. They made the props.
So it was pretty much in widespread use by the time we got to World War Two. Yeah. So I was a little out, but. But not a mile, but a little bit out. A whole war out.
No,
a little bit.
To be able to, when we started manufacturing using aluminum more and more in the correct properties, I guess, that was huge. The lighter weight was huge for everything from logistics to delivery.
Yes. Well, the manufacturing of aluminum went mad during World War II. So.
Yeah.
And because it was, as you correctly said, it was the metal of choice for the aircraft in World War II. And so I think something like 300,000 aircraft, they're saying, in the US were manufactured using aluminium.
Maybe that's why the Zeros were so fast but so vulnerable to attack. Could be a soft
metal. Attack, yeah. And that was way back in the time where, because Australia was so far away from everybody and everybody was so busy arming up, Australia actually designed their own planes, had it?
Say that again?
We designed our own planes and built our own planes in World War II before we got
a fighter or
from
a bomber?
America.
Fighter? A bomber, a goose?
Mainly fighters.
Okay.
And so we had what did we have? We had a whole heap of aircraft that sort of you probably haven't heard of before, mainly because they weren't very good. I mean, they got up in the air and they flew, but that was mainly about it really. And so we had the Boomerang, which was a fighter.
Yeah, you guys were the spotters. You had the best binoculars in the
Pacific. We had the Wirraway that was a trainer aircraft. We had a light bomber called the Woomera. And then we even had an interceptor called the Kangaroo. So
what's the Bolo? Is it a Bolo?
We had a series of aircraft that sort of filled the gap. Before
what's that called?
We actually got things decent from you guys.
What's that weapon with the two weights and the two balls at the end of this rope? Or they throw it to trip you. Isn't that Australian?
I'm not sure, actually. Good question.
I thought it was a bolo or something.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
probably right.
Like a battle axe?
You're probably right. Yeah. Deb, you've got a poem number on the board.
Oh, yeah, I do. I brought this one only because it's one of those ones that when you're hanging out with rhymers, it would be nice to get to read it with them because, like,
cool.
Only another rhymer can appreciate the flow anyhow.
Oh, cool.
It's just a short one
like
that
flow.
I had wrote for Liquid Damage's show, actually, and it's called The Steel Wool Lace Scars the Leather Skin. Here we go. Red balloons and steel feathers, pearl lace and black leather, rock, paper, scissors, shards shatter inside. Shredding the pieces in blind hollow spaces, scanning for traces of fragments collide. Bending, not breaking, two torsos rock shaking, leaving earth quaking and eyes cannot see. Sleepy eyes midnight, igniting the moonlight, tossed like the torchlight, then spreading on me. Scissors cut paper and rocks break the scissors. Share with me leather. Take eyelets from me. And pop.
Yeah, lovely cadence, Deb. Just flows beautifully, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you wouldn't expect it. You wouldn't expect it looking at it on the page. You'd think, well, that's going to read okay, but it's not going to flow down like a water down a waterfall. And that's what really nice cadence sort of sounds like. It sounds like water sort of picking up momentum as it down rocks, yeah? And that's what this does. And you wouldn't expect it. Sorry, Hannah, your comment?
I said it's kitschy. It's kitschy, yeah, kitschy. I'm not saying that right. Scissors cut paper, rock breaks the scissors, share with me leather, take eyelets from me. That
eyelets are lace.
Yeah, it's kitschy.
Mm.
Am I saying that wrong? Sounds wrong.
No, you're good.
Thank you.
Jiggity groove.
Eyelets. You know, we say the same thing. But even the second stanza, because I sort of when I saw the second stanza, it sort of appeared out, and even the last line of the fourth stanza, and I think to myself, I wonder how that's going to actually play out when you sort of.
It just
works so beautifully. Yeah, it works really nicely.
Damn, thank you, guys.
In blind hollow places.
Yeah, really cool.
That's what I hear in my head, that cadence. Shredding the pieces in blind hollow places, scanning for traces as fragments collide. Yeah.
It's almost like a 2-4 music rhythm, Hatter. It's almost like
you said that about hanging with other rhymers.
Rhyming and flowing and cadence and showing off, you got to bring it or you can't hang with the big boys. I'm just saying.
We do a few things right occasionally, Deb, I really like this. I think it's because, as I said, I wasn't expecting the cadence and flow that you got from the read in the way that it sat on the paper, and I reckon that's really cool.
Thanks so much.
It is,
but it's also clever. It's creative and clever in both.
Beautiful.
So I'm all for creative and clever in the same piece. You know, I think that works. Okay, now Hatter, I have a question for you, and I did say I was going to have this question for you an hour or so ago. Do you have a thought on where you want to go with the next prompt?
I'm gonna go. That's a good one. Let's go. Creeks and lakes and streams, you know, that kind of thing.
Creeks and lakes, moving water.
Bodies of water.
Moving water. Let's go with moving water. Creeks, lakes, or streams, moving water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving water.
Yep. Yeah.
Sounds good. Yep.
As long as it's moving. Stagnant water. It's got to be moving water.
Oh.
Yeah?
Nothing stagnant.
Nothing stagnant. No stagnancy here. We're going with, you know, motion. Water and motion and stuff.
There you go.
So that's kind of a cute prompt.
Yeah, I like it.
I think one of the first poems I ever wrote was about moving water. Had it? I'll have to see if I can find it. It's 6-7 years ago, but it was. I'm sure it was about a stream that I was writing.
Yeah, you know, I used to write about the ocean more. You know, I had this when I first came to AP, first year, I was writing for a contest about the angry sea. I have some of them, the early Oseli stuff. And this lady had come to me, another poet, and she asked if she could, I would mind if she could present that to the squad or the life crew out of a rescue boat that saved her son's life in the North Sea.
Oh, wow.
And she was going to tell you, she wanted to know if I could. So I wrote her a poem and gave it to her, I mean, to have.
Yeah.
Regretfully, I didn't keep a copy for myself, but
that's cool,
man. Some of my early writes are very, very similar about the sea.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that is intriguing. I didn't know that. I many moons ago had a person that I got to know as a friend who joined me to help try and sell a online freight portal, and he is now retired and working on a rescue boat on the waters off Melbourne. There's two voluntary rescue boats that basically are there to protect all the sailors on our bay, and he's on one of them, and which is pretty cool.
I think you guys
actually
got,
great
I think you guys got the unsinkable. You got the unsinkable boats, don't you? Those rescue look like little
muscle tug. Special the keel, yeah, and the way they're designed, yeah, we have, but. But yeah, so he's on that rescue boat. That's what he does now. That's his sole sort of job and task, is to be on the rescue boat and basically, particularly during summer, but also during winter, be out there and help people out.
The hero.
Sorry. Oh, he's a good guy. This is Adam, and he was a good salesperson, and we actually joined up again, Adam, about 5 years, 6 years after the freight portal, and he came up with this really interesting business opportunity that was a piece of business software, and you used the software to optimize different things. It was a statistical type software package, and it was a really good package, and it was really well developed, and it had lots of potential, and it only had one fundamental problem.
Mm. What's that?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm being fed pizza.
Oh, no. The fundamental problem.
Joy says the pizza's ready.
Well, you're wonderful, Joy. You feed him, and we'll close up the show.
Go, Joy.
Go eat, Hatter.
Yeah.
Thank
go eat, Hatter.
Oh, I am.
No problem.
I'm
go eat with Joy, and when you're done eating, check out the really, really, really awesome collab photo that I found for you guys, and we'll talk later.
And you can listen to the replay to work out what the problem was, Hatter. So have pizza if it's in front of you.
Okay.
So here we go. So Deb, the only problem that I had with this whole thing that Adam came up with and gave to me was that the software program was owned by Russians. And the problem with doing business with Russians is that they're Russians. And we had done a lot of work. We had people lined up. It was all ready to go. And just on the cusp of making a whole heap of money, the Russians got rid of our deal as a local distributor and came in and did it all themselves because we'd set it all up for them. And I promised myself one thing after that. I mean, Adam probably decided that the way to go was to go and save people on rescue boats. That was his way of dealing with it. My way of dealing with it was to say, I am never, ever doing business with Russians again. So I'm just sharing that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how long she was there because I was sending you guys the collab photo, but the Queen of Canada is in the studio.
Oh, is she? Well, there you go. I completely didn't look. I was too busy telling stories about Russia and doing all that other stuff. So if you've been there a while, Lady A, I completely apologize because I've been otherwise occupied.
No, no.
But, my apologies. But anyway, welcome. And you are here sufficiently long enough to hear that we basically have got to the end of all of our poems already, Lady A, and we have worked out that we are going to be doing moving water, streams, lakes, and stuff the next time. And that's about where we got to. And Hatter was about to go off and eat pizza. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what we got to.
Oh, he can't. If I have a poem for him.
I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we don't want Joy to spank him, at least not while he's trying to heal from back surgery. How are you, Hatter?
I was a little sore today.
I think that's fair.
I'll make for it.
So, Lady A, do you want to put that up on the board so that we can now, while we still have Hatter, because, I mean, it's one thing to be here, it's another to have fresh pizza to eat, you know, six of one, half a dozen the other, but I think most people will go with the pizza.
It's good pizza.
Hey, just give me 1 second, okay? I went in. I've done this so many times, I don't know what I'm going to do to stop it from happening, but I write a poem, I completely finished it, and then I went to get it, and half of it was gone, so I'm just tidying up just for... was really good, too, and this one's... It's not as good as the last one, but I'm trying to just...
So, while you're fixing that, I have a little tidbit that I saw, or actually I read it a news feed today. And it was about a 13-year-old in Australia, actually. And
yes.
AP, you may have heard this. I don't know. However, she found a Dorito in her chip bag.
Yes.
It was not flat. It was puffed. Like, you know how occasionally a potato chip will get a puff and you have this puff instead of a flat chip? Okay, well, she found the one and only known puffed Dorito. So for kicks, she put it on eBay for 99 cents. And not only did people go wild over this, the bid was up to like $100,000, no lie, to the point where it drew the attention of the makers of Doritos, who were so impressed by her entrepreneurial brilliance that they gave her 20 grand. How awesome is that?
Wow.
You got to love that. You know, I just think that there's an entrepreneur in waiting there, Deb. There's an entrepreneur in waiting.
Yeah, because I would have never thought to list it on eBay. I mean, but how clever is she?
Neither would I. And so on the Gulf Coast, a big shout out to Riley Stewart, the 13-year-old who did this. And
there you go.
And may you use the money to the 20 grand to set up a business and be stunningly successful. So we wish you all the best.
Make puffy Doritos.
I read something about how it was going to go to a museum or the cheese puff museum. Something I don't know. But I was so impressed.
This is a Pet Rock. This is
they paid her
20
grand for her ingenuity. That was like the most impressive thing, you know. Most companies would just bite off the publicity that was coming with it, but they actually gave her some dough, so that was cool. So go Doritos, too. Brilliant job.
Yeah, well done. Yep, well done to the local Doritos.
Piece of toast with a picture of Jesus. for that tentative
yeah.
Looking.
Well,
yeah, that was
like
one of the other
Cheetos
that
looked like the Cheetos that looked like Lincoln.
Yeah, except it's corn chip. You know, you've got exactly the right thing. So it you know, well done to Doritos. Well done to Riley. Go Riley.
So who tried to talk her out? Who tried to talk her out of doing that? Who you?
I don't know why they would have tried to talk her out of it. She probably didn't even, you know, mention it. She just went on and listed it on the auction for 99 cents and just
yeah.
As a laugh, I would imagine. She was
yeah,
hoping to maybe make a couple bucks, you know.
Yeah, I remember something that, yeah.
Well, people put up priceless objects that don't get bid $100,000,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly right.
Very impressive.
So, good work. Love the kids' work. So, and now, Lady A, as I said, for next week, we are doing moving water, streams, lakes, creeks, and such. And so that is the prompt for next week, as given by the one and only Hatter. And what else? I don't think we've got... Wait, Deb, you've got your show on... Monday, yes. Did you want to talk about that?
I'm muted.
Hello, Deb. She was there, I think.
Oh. Maybe she's got it.
She might not
she
be. She might not be now. So, there you go. It's just you, me, Pizza, and Lady A, I think, Adam.
Right. I got mine in the room there if you want me to read it now.
That would be perfect, Lady A. We're in your hands.
All right. So this is called Simply Stainless Steel. And I did an acrostic for those two words.
Beautiful.
Sensitive man, old soul steeped in music, transparent is the angry poet. All know it is a facade. Intimate desires are laced within his poems, needs a tender touch, yet alone he stands. Love is what he writes about, ever lost in time. Silly jokes about Canadian borders, sweet seduction, women simply swoon. Seen through eyes of friendship, tenderly embraced, ever intriguing poetry, each reader he engages. Love is what he's made of. Stainless steel, I say, a marshmallow, dear friend.
Well, there you go, lady.
I wonder
that's very nice of you to
how you know that would be about me.
Kind.
I'm not sure.
Very, very kind to write about me, Lady A. I think that's very appropriate in the circumstances. Hannah, did you want to comment about this poem? Given that context,
it's aluminium.
It could well be. It is malleable. Mm-hmm. It's certainly malleable.
I know.
Yeah. Not lot.
I know. I'll always be a marshmallow to you, on that ear.
In the very best of ways.
Very manly marshmallow. Yeah.
A very manly marshmallow. Yes, exactly.
But it's hot and gooey. Had up, you know, like marshmallows.
Yeah.
That would work nicely. Yes. Not
the melt in your mouth kind.
I don't think aluminium.
You naughty fingers.
Deb, did you want to say some words about Lady A's poem?
I like the play. I like the build up to the marshmallow. Seen through eyes of friendship, tenderly embraced, ever intriguing poetry, each reader he engages, love is what he's made of, stainless steel, I say, a marshmallow, stainless steel, cool picture, Lady A.
Thanks. See you better soon, Hatter.
Looks like multiple hatters there, just not one. But anyway, that's okay. All good. Multiple rods going on Lady O. Very good.
Well, if you...
Now, close up shop, give you time to A, rest, B, have pizza, and C, reflect upon the topic for next week, which is creeks and lakes and streams.
Yeah.
Deb, did you want to say some words about the show coming up on Monday?
Sure. Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's a new moon on Monday. You choose your moon. Bring me some poetry about a new moon on Monday, and we will hear the song. And
wonder how he's doing.
Should be pretty awesome that you can use the word bag and show me your brilliance. Or you can, can make it about the Duran Duran song, or you can just make it about the photo. But there's some really cool shots. So take your pick and tell me your number. 10 p.m. And we're off to
Very good. Excellent. That sounds fun. Is there a show tomorrow night, Deb?
Well, if there is, watch for an invitation, if you get my drift.
Yep, get the drift. Okay, cool. I just wanted to note, because I would do such a thing, Deb, that the moon is currently in a slightly different plane, and its orbit is wobbling. And a wobbling moon actually leads to flooding, which is why we've had exacerbated flooding in China, Europe and parts of Australia already. So watch out for the moon wobble.
It's a bad wobble.
I've never
heard that expression before. The last 3 days, the moon's been nearly like an apricot tangerine color. It's been freaking me out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said that, so it made me wonder.
If you want to get a little bit more freaked out, look up the term moon wobble. Even NASA uses the term moon wobble, so it's an official term. So, if it's good enough for NASA to use, it's good enough for me. That will be the show on Monday night. So, and I think that's probably about it. Hannah, did you want to say some words before we exit stage left?
The moon wobble should create some pretty strange tides, too.
Yes, it should. Yes,
oh, no.
Yep.
Ooh, in what way are there going to be strange tides?
Where there's water?
There's a moon wobble.
No, but I mean, it's like a storm surge, or is it going to be, something flooding?
They don't know.
Yep.
They don't know.
Well, how strange is that I made my topics weeks ago and I have a moon show coming up when the bitch is wobbling.
It's in the news.
Who knew?
Yep, that's it.
Wow.
It's in the news. Official.
And Deborah Lee.
Anyway.
Sounds like a dance. Sounds like a dance from the 60s.
I'll have to write about the moon. Sorry, Lady O.
No, that's okay. These pictures are absolutely stunning, and I don't even know. I'm down to two, but I'm not sure which one I'm going to get, but I just love them. They're beautiful.
I'm glad. I've been collecting them there. I kind of think they're really cool. So I'm glad you like them. Look forward to seeing which one you choose. And what
I'm
going to
get
on the show.
Funky subject. And I have to
I'd like to guess which one I'm going to choose, and I'll tell you if you're right or not. I'm putting it in the room.
We can do that.
I'm going to put it in my comment thing, but
I want in. What pictures? I'll pick it.
You're going to pick a picture too, Hannah?
Moon pictures.
I want to pick the ones that I think they'll pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I picked mine already, but I haven't posted yet, so Deb, you tell me just verbally which one you think I would pick.
Well, at a quick glance, my first thought would be that you would either take the one in the field with the beautiful flowers
and all the moons everywhere, and you would hang the moon in the sky, or quite possibly down quite a bit further. With the mood you've been in lately, you'll be the beautiful blonde on the beach dragging the moon behind her like she just got married to the moon. But I could be wrong.
I thought of that one, but I have...
Wait. Personal prompt.
Hedda.
Personal prompt. Let me take a peeky. Yeah. Take a peeky.
Hedda. Yep. You.
Okay. Ooh. She's gonna take the dandelion one.
No.
There you go.
No,
well.
You just
don't
know. Worth the try, Hedda. Oh, you're taking the dandelion one. My first choice was number 20, where she's sitting on the pier and moon.
I had no
clue. I've picked number 22.
22. You know,
very compelling.
Very nice. The moon in the hand and illuminating the face with the clouds and the landscape in the background. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
So I can see that. Okie doke. So, Deb, I think we are going to close up shop and say thank you to all of the people who called in and early on. That was Stephen and Sweet, and it was... Later on, it was Lady A. And in between times, of course, there was yourself and Hedda to run through a set of poems on stainless steel. And I know when I chose the topic that everybody thought that was a strange, strange thought. But it has become oddly compelling, particularly, Lady A, if you go and have a look at Stephen's poem early on, in which he engaged us all in the... The dark art of being run through by different weapons with stainless steel, which was very cool. So I think it has
one
to be seen to be a success.
One last thing. Deb, I'll take number 8.
Okay.
Ah, there you go. Righto, we've got that sorted. And so we're sorting out moon images for Monday, which is good because I'm normally there with about an hour to go, typically. So that's about as organized as I am. And so next week, we're talking about organisation, next week we are back for the movement of water and streams and lakes and creeks and so forth. And so we will be doing those poems then. And meantime, we should probably close with something that has some vague resemblance to what we're going to do next time. And so I'm going to go with... Fire and Rain by James Taylor.
You
wouldn't have moving water unless it actually came down from the sky, Hedda, unless alien vessels sort of discharged it from UFOs or something, which I haven't seen recently. So
the closest we have is smoke on the water, so we're good.
I think Fire and Rain works nicely. A logical conclusion to things, and James Taylor can really sing. So we're going to go out with James Taylor, and we will see everybody next week for streams and creeks and so forth. Until then, thank you, everybody, and
we will catch
you during the week. Thank you, Hedda. Thank you, Deb. Thank you, Lady A. And out we go with James Taylor. Talk soon.
See you guys.
Night, everyone.
Bye.
Night.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning, and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time. My back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you finally now.
So, everybody, thank you for being along for the ride for Stainless Steel. How'd I get well? Enjoy.
Yeah, I think I heard you too.
And we will see everybody next time for the wonderful world of moving water. Until then, have a great week, and we will talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Ciao.